Hey, Derek.
Pleasure to be here. Real happy to be here. Real happy to make this my fifth year coming. And this is a getaway from where we're from. Sometimes it gets a little chaotic around there, with work and with the meetings and with kids and with, like, this is kind of like where I get to recharge my battery, so to speak. I'll have 13 years clean December 14th, God willing. When I came to this process, I came by way of institution, because I couldn't get clean by myself. I think my last run was a 7-day blackout where I woke up in a park, and I decided that I need help. Like nobody had to tell me anymore that I needed help. I needed help. And checked myself into the crisis center. And one of the things that they asked me, and I found it very difficult to answer, was, do you want to kill yourself? And I'm like, I'm smoking crack. What the fuck does that mean? Right? And she said, well, do you want to kill yourself? So I'm like, I'm struggling with, like, understanding, like, where are you coming from? I'm here, I want help. But I couldn't say it. It was something about that just didn't seem normal. You know what I mean? So, I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous by way of institution, and, you know, my sponsor, who I didn't know was going to be my sponsor at the time, matter of fact, I like to share this because my first meeting, there were people in the meeting and they were laughing and joking, and I got offended by that. You know, what's so funny? You know, that's the state I was in. Like, nobody could enjoy themselves around me, because if I'm not enjoying myself, you can't enjoy yourself. And a few months later, I asked that same guy to sponsor me because I started to hear some things in the rooms that they started to make sense, and I really wanted to stop using. So I asked him to sponsor me. And he said, you know, well, why do you want me to sponsor you? And I said, well, you got clean time. I think he had like 10 years at the time, maybe 9. You seem to understand the literature. And the most important thing is that you were a single father. That was important to me, because I didn't know how to be a father. I had 5 children, fatherless. I was in and out their life for all their life. So, you know, we started the step process as soon as I got out. And, you know, the one thing that I don't suffer from is telling you my opinion and telling you what I think is right and telling you war stories. I got that down pat. But I didn't know how to be gut level honest with anybody, because I practiced dishonesty for a number of years. So, you know, we're going through the step process, and we get to the fourth step, and I was trying to do the fourth step without having to tell you the truth, and it don't work. So I found myself in Camden, get ready to use. I think I had 2 years clean. And I saw a young lady that I used to get high with, and I was trying to avoid her, but something said, go say hi. And you know, so they give you the, hey, how you doing? You look good. Where you been? You've been locked up. You know, you don't see nobody, you think they locked up. And I'm, you know, I was telling, I'm living down Millville, and you know, I'm doing okay. And she was like, yeah, it's good to see you, and I hope you don't come back to Camden, and this ain't shit, and all that. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, damn, she looked bad. But it was something about her telling me that. I said, I'm going back. I'm getting on the bus. I'm going back. And so it was Sunday. It was Easter Sunday. I got up, and I said, I'm going to do this fourth step. But I'm gonna get gut level honest, because after all, what was I afraid of? I was afraid of people judging me, and really people leaving me was the thing that I feared. So I just broke off. Said, I'm not gonna do that shit. I'm gonna, right here, this is the shit that's fucking bothering me. This is the stuff that I don't want nobody else to know. And I said, only got to worry about my sponsor. And if it gets past him, it's going to be a problem. But I said, at least I'm going to do it. Only for him to, you know, he has me reading it back to him. And, you know, I explained to him why I did it this way. You know, because I was going to use, because 6 months into the step, he looked at me and he said, look, man, before you go out, before you check out, I want you to know that I love you. And I'm like, what do you mean check out? So he already saw it. He already saw it. So as I'm reading it to him, he's going, yeah, me too. I'm like, for real? He's like, yeah. He said, matter of fact, your grand sponsor too. I'm like, what? So that's when I found out that it was okay to tell the truth. It was okay to be honest with somebody, and it was okay for me to know that you ain't the only one. We go farther into the steps, and one thing about the eighth step, that it was talking about forgiveness. Like, this is the start of the forgiveness process. So, you know, I came from a family of a lot of women. And you know, the there were males outside of my immediate family, you know, like cousins or some shit. And one of the things that I had to put down on the list was the fact that, you know, my cousin was, I was 5 years old, and he was trying to teach me how to shoot pool with my pants down. You know, so I'm 5 years old. I don't know no fucking better. You know what I mean? And, you know, like that shit, You know, that shit, like, fuck, like, messed with my mentality as a 5-year-old. Because, like, I'm struggling. It's like, why did I have to pull my pants down? You know, so I got, like, about 8 years old, and I'm wondering, like, is that normal? Am I supposed to do that to somebody else? Am I supposed to let people do that to me? You know, so, like, I was messed up at that time, man, because that's when I started drinking. And shortly after that, I started smoking weed, and shortly after that, I started popping pills, and shortly after that, I was sniffing, you know, but back then, we had cranked and shit, you know, and, you know, so a lot of stuff that happened to me, I tried to bury with the drugs, and I tried to bury with drinking, and I tried to bury with lying. I try to bury with all this stuff. And, you know, it talks about, but we just asking you what you did. We ain't asking nobody else what they did. This is about you. What did you do? So, it made it difficult, but in a sense, it made it easier because I didn't have to talk about, well, I did this because he did this, and then I did this because this happened here, and this is like, you know, so there's all that confusion. And, you know, my sponsor asked me to put myself on the list, and I'm like, why? He said, you've been trying to kill yourself for years. I said, oh, okay. All right. So, I mean, I did what he said. But I never took into account how much of the self-loathing and self-hatred and self-pity that I still carried was affecting my after-using life. And, you know, so we go down a list, and you know, now I'm jumping to the ninth step a little bit because I'm going to be kind of jumping back and forth because that's how close these steps are. And he said, you know, because when I grew up, I didn't know my father. I knew my brother's father, which I thought was my father. Years later, I found out he wasn't my father. And that was the reason why him and my mom got a divorce. So, years later, what I did was, I was in high school and I gave blood. And they said, you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. They said, well, their blood type did not make my blood type. So I'm like, you really? I said, oh. So my mom was on her deathbed, thought she was on her deathbed, and she wanted to get clean. She wanted to tell the truth. What really happened? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, 1965, having a child out of wedlock, why are you married? You know, I came out, you know, my supposed father was a 6'5", dark-skinned man. My mother is a 5'3", you know, and they're wondering, like, where's this little yellow baby coming from? And she couldn't keep the secret. So, you know, it caused a lot of commotion without the family. And they treated me differently because they wanted me to be darker. They wanted me to be, they wanted my hair to be different. They wanted, They just wanted somebody different. So she used to sit me out in the sun as a child to get darker. They used to do stuff to my hair so my hair would be, because I had straight hair. I had hair. I don't have it now, but I had hair. And, they would just treat me different. I saw it. You know, I felt it. And that's why I believe this disease happens, like we're born with this. Like we know when that stuff happens, and we know when we're feeling different, and we know when things ain't right around us. You know what I mean? We just gravitate towards that, and we just take that and run with it. And, so she got honest, you know, and I told her, whatever. I said, you're my mother. I forgave her. You know what I'm saying? And that was, believe it or not, that was easy to do. But now we're going to move ahead. See, when I did the list, there were two names I left off the list, which is my biological father and my stepfather. And my sponsor asked me, how come you left them off the list? I'm like, they dead. They not here. Why I got to put them on the list? And he said, you really need to check what you're doing, because you can't recover with hatred. And I asked him, why do you think I have hatred? He said, why would you ignore somebody who lived in your life? Okay. Thought about it. Yeah, I hate the motherfuckers. Yeah. I mean, we talking truth now, right? I hated them. Well, why? 1993, I was shot in the head and in the hospital. And I get a phone call in the hospital from some guy just calling to see how I was doing. And I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm all drugged up. You know, I'm on fucking whatever the fuck that shit was. High as a kite. In pain. Right? So I'm in a good place right now. You don't need to be fucking with me, man. Who the fuck is this? So he said he's my father. I'm like, click. I'm high now, motherfucker. I ain't got time to be playing with nobody. So I come home and I'm laying around the house, and I had made my way downstairs, and I'm just sitting there because that was a struggle. And phone rings. I answer the phone. He's like, "Hey, how you doing?" So I remember the voice, and I was like, who's this? He said, look, just hold on a minute. He said, this is your real father. And I was like, really? So he said, yeah, man. He said, I heard you got shot and all that. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And he said, I would have came up there, but my daughter was sick. So when I heard that, I'm like, I just got shot, motherfucker. You called me. Why the hell would you call me to tease me? Click. I ain't got time for that. You know, that's not the way you. So had a resentment with him. And, you know, with my stepfather, because he used to beat on my mother. And I got tired of it. And I that's it. You ain't hitting nobody else in this house again. And got a little stick, about 15 years old. And I'm like, if you hit one more person in this house, it's happening. Because now I got a little bigger now. Now you can't just punch me in the fucking face. 11 years old. We're going to do this. Because now that by that time, I'm well into the streets. I'm well into using. I done did some shit now. I don't care. We can do this. So I always had a hatred for him. And part of that hatred, I think, because, you know, I had a hatred with my brother as well, because I can't see when I'm doing the same shit. I can't see it. I mistreated my family, my wife, just like them. But it's okay, because it's me. It's not okay if it's you, motherfucker. And I was getting my signals crossed with this knife step, because I'm good with stuffing stuff. I'm good with trying to forget stuff. I'm good with that shit. I'm good. Look, I don't care. Look, just stay over there. I'm over here. We good. I'm not good. I'm not good. But I think I am, based off of my thinking. So, what I'm trying to say is that these steps intertwine. 8 and 9 definitely intertwine. It's easy to put it on paper. It's easy to make the list. But it wasn't easy to go over it and have somebody critique you. And he said, "Look, these 2 things. How come you didn't put them 2 on the list?" Part of forgiveness is forgiving yourself. I skipped that part. Yeah, I forgive him. Yeah, no, you didn't. I said it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. See, because when I look at them, I can identify with them. And if I don't forgive them, then I can't forgive me. I did the same shit they did. My brother, making babies, not taking care of them. Fuck you, they owe you because you married. I'm with my kids. You ain't with your kids. Motherfucker, they ain't seen you in 2 years. How you with your kids? Well, you locked up again? Really? My sponsor has a way of, he's got a way with words. You know, he does it in a loving, caring way. And I appreciate that, because I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing whenever I do a step or where I do a tradition. He just says, "Do this," and I do it, and then we go over it, and then he said, "Okay, well now start working some of these principles and start working some of these concepts and start working," and that's how I get to know through experience. If you tell me something, I'm like, okay, but I won't remember it. Because all I said was, okay, yeah. So you gotta watch, you gotta watch that shit around me. If I'm too quick with it, with, like, okay, get, like, I probably didn't hear you. I'm serious. I probably didn't hear you. Well, I didn't hear what your intent was. You know, to keep it simple, I just try to, you know, rigorous honesty is what we're trying to achieve. And there's those times when I'm trying not to hurt somebody, and that could be a problem, even though they need a honest fucking answer. And it's hard. It's hard. But, you know, I guess I just keep trying to work this program to the best of my ability. I am not a, scientist. I don't know if it was from the gunshot or from the decades of using drugs. Sometimes this shit goes, and I can't remember what the fuck. What? Wait a minute. What? Let me read this again, because that shit sounded funny, man. Let me. Oh, it's in here. Okay. All right. Okay. We good. And but I can't. And I try, and then I get mad at myself because I can't. And it's just funny, man. So I just keep coming. I just keep coming because, like, self-forgiveness, I think that process is still ongoing. I think that process is, I'm given the gift of being with your family and actually being a father. And I get to go through stuff with each child, and they all different ages, and they go on to school and they not go on to school, and I'm like, I'm tired. Like, you like I don't feel like getting in my car because you don't have a fucking ride home. And I do. So, like, I'm learning how, because that's what I wanted to do when I got clean, was to be a father. And that's part of my self-forgiving stage, that I get a chance to do that, you know, and I get a chance to be a father, man. You know what I mean? It's like you have a few things in life. We have a lot of things in life we want to do. But I think I only have a few. You know, I want to stay clean. I want to be a father. And I wanted to be a productive member of society. You know, other than, you know, that little shit like get your license back and all that kind of shit. Like I didn't have too much. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if I say, you know, I only got, like, don't put no more shit on me, because then I get confused. Like, am I supposed to be doing this? Am I supposed to be paying this? Wait a minute. Yeah, I got to check this out again. Hold on. Because they look at me sometimes, and I'm like, all right, let's talk about this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm learning a different way of going about stuff, and a different way of treating people, and a different way of taking in information, you know, for the most part. So I just keep it simple, man. That's where I'm at today. It's been a pleasure coming down here. I'm not I say this every year because I'm not really a woods person, but I get to unwind here, and I get to listen to people that I don't see every day, and I think that's really the thing that gets me, because I get to come up here and totally out of my area, and I get to listen to y'all. And I get to see how you work this step and how you work that tradition and how you, carry the message and how you know what I'm saying? And I really get excited about that piece. Because when I came here last night to sign in, he said, "Hey, man, you want to share for us?" And I'm like, "Motherfucker, I'm on vacation." But when do you take time out to not carry the message? You know, like, Saturdays and Sundays, I'm not going to carry the message. Like, you're a living and breathing message. Mm-hmm. How the fuck does that work? So, my self-centered ass said, I didn't sound too enthusiastic about it, you know. And I'm like, what the hell, Because that's not what I wanted to do. But that's what God wanted me to do. It wasn't him. It's God. So I'm going to say no to God. I did that for a long time. I haven't done that in a while. That's why I've been clean. I've been out of jail. I've been doing all this shit, this living. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, God, fuck. Yeah, I'll do it, man. You know. Because that's probably what I needed to do. That's probably what I need to do. So, I want to thank this group and the members for asking me to share, and thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, turn that out. She's good.
There's a podium here if you'd rather use it.
I'm good right here.
Hi everyone, I'm an addict, my name's Flip.
Hey, good.
I don't like topic speaking. And when I was asked to speak, I said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." He said, "You're going to speak on 8 and 9, steps 8 and 9. Okay. The first place I went, there's a gentleman in my area who's a very flamboyant speaker. He walks around with all his books, and he's got little tags in them. And I like the guy. Okay, and so I'm thinking, I want to do like he does. I go home and I read up on step 8, and I read up on step 9. You know, we got 3 different books that got the steps in them, so I read all 3 books. I even read books from another fellowship to compare, because I want to be smart, I want to be prepared for you guys. And I sponsor, who lives in California, the state. And I talk to him just about every day, at least 3 times a week. On my ride home from work, I call him. He's a truck driver, so he's sitting in his truck driving or unloading, whatever. And we talk. I tell him, "Oh, hey, did I tell you I got asked to speak?" "No, yeah, no, you didn't. Yeah, I got asked to speak on steps 8 and 9. Yeah, I've been reading up on the books." And he's like, whoa, stop. So, what? He said, "Did you work step 8? "Yeah." "Did you work step 9? "Yeah." He said, "When you speak, are you supposed to read the books, or are you supposed to share your experience, strength, and hope?" Mm-hmm. I said, "You're supposed to share your experience, strength, and hope." "Well, then who are you trying to be?" So I tell him about my friend. "Dude, that ain't who you are. Just go, hit your knees. Tell them what it was like for you." So, I'm going to tell you my journey through steps, and we'll get to 8 and 9. Because it's a little strange. I'm an addict. I come to rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. Like, and I don't know what you guys are talking about, but like, I came in through rehab. And honestly, I just wanted someone to tell me how to use successfully. And then somebody has this trick, right? And I'm afraid they're not going to let me out of rehab. Like, because going into rehab, they said, do you need a detox? I don't know what a detox is. I don't know what you mean. He said, well, can you stay for the weekend? Can you go home for the weekend and not use? No. So, well, now, what he said and what I heard are two different things, I'm sure. But what I heard is if you don't stay clean yourself for this weekend, we're going to lock you up. And all I could think of is this room with a padded cell, a little straitjacket. Because that's where my head's at. You know what I mean? Like, again, I don't know nothing about recovery. I don't know nothing about detoxes and rehabs and all this stuff. And so finally they get me into this outpatient program. And I couldn't go to work. I didn't understand. I couldn't go to work. I had to go to this outpatient program. And then I had to do meetings at night. And I'm like, why couldn't I just go to this outpatient program at night and go to work during the day? But anyhow, I'm going through this program, and I'm buying into this stuff. You know, like they got me reading the basic text, and I went home and read Who's an Addict? And as I'm reading this, I'm looking out my window because, well, I came here because of crack cocaine, so I was looking out the window because I was used to looking out the window. But I'm reading this book, and I'm thinking, like, who's watching me? Because they're telling my story, you know, like, the feelings. And so anyhow, they tell me I got to get a home group, and I got to get a sponsor. And I go to this meeting on a Tuesday night, and all these people are sitting around at this table laughing. You know, and I started going to a couple meetings, and these people are sitting around laughing. And I said, hey, man, I'd like to join your home group. And they said, oh, wow, that's great. Come down to Homestead tomorrow. Okay, I don't know nothing about this Narcotics Anonymous stuff. Like, you're here today. Like, isn't this your home group? No, our home group's all, because there was their home group. They're all sitting, all the home group members were sitting at the table hanging out. They're all friends. So I go down to Homestead on a Wednesday. And, okay, I want to sign up. I want to make this my home group. You know, you people look like you're having a lot of fun, and, you know, like, I just want to have fun. They look pretty cool, and I thought they really had the secret. So they signed me up as a home group. Oh, by the way, I need to get a sponsor. And, go ask that guy over there. Really? Yeah, his name's John. Just go ask John if he'd be your, ask him if he'd be your temporary sponsor. Okay, so I go ask John to be my temporary sponsor, and he says he'd be honored. Okay, what do you need me to do? And he says, I want you to call me every day. I want you to go to every meeting you go to. I want you to get at least 3 phone numbers, and I want you to call those phone numbers. Okay, so I want the secret, so I'm going to do this. This is just how my process is happening. You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe none of this stuff. But okay, I'll fake it. Okay, so I start calling John every day, and come to find out John is in the same trade that I'm in. Now, when I was in rehab, there was only one person I knew that went to these meetings. And I went to a meeting with these people at the rehab. We met up after and went to a meeting, and there was something about that meeting. First meeting I went to, I was like, man, this is bullshit. I ain't ever going back. But the second meeting I went to, there was something about this meeting. There's something about you guys that's just like, all I heard was keep coming back. And I remember like burning everybody that I knew, and I had to go to a different bar. And I was the only one. None of my friends hung out there. Well, I call them my friends, but you know what they were. None of them hung out there, so I was like, I'm going to try someplace different, and I kept coming back. You know, I went back long enough, it was like, I thought it was Cheers, and like, no, you can't sit there, you know, that's Flipsy. Hey, Flip, yeah, you got to go. And so it worked for that. So, you know, like some of this stuff's starting to click, you know, like, you know, how to, I asked my sponsor, how many meetings do I need to go to? He says, well, how often did you get high? I said, shit, I got high every day. He says, well, I think we should start with every day. chase your recovery like you chase your dope. Stuff like that clicked, but I still didn't know what I was doing. I'm going to meetings, and I come to find out that John's in the same trade that I'm in, so not... we're not going to, like, what are we going to talk about? I'm going to call this guy every day. Well, we talked about work. You know, what'd you do today? Yeah, okay, he understood what I was talking about. And I also come to find out that he was dating the one woman that I knew in the program. Not that we talked about her, but it was just something similar. You know, we had similar interests and stuff. You know, oh, you know Sherry? Yeah, I know Sherry. Oh, that's pretty cool. When can I start working steps? This is a couple weeks later. You know, easy. I think we want to start out with a gratitude list. Gratitude list. What's a gratitude list? Write down the things you're grateful for. Well, I'm grateful I'm clean, man. I'm really grateful I'm clean. No, I want you to write down 5 different things every day. Every day. Easy. Yeah. Different things. Yeah, like, you know, on Monday, if you put down 5 things for the rest of the week, you can't put any of those 5 things down. How am I going to do that? You wake up this morning? Yeah. Pretty grateful for that, aren't you? Well, yeah. When you woke up, you put your feet on the floor, you stood up, you probably went to the bathroom, right? Yeah, there's 3 more right there. So just keep it simple. So he got me doing a gratitude list. I got a couple months clean now. I'm like, when can I start the steps? When can I start the steps? All I keep going to these meetings and I keep talking about steps. You need to get some more meetings. You need to get a Wii. You need to keep calling those phone numbers. And I had about 5 months clean, and I was hanging out with some people, and we went to the sports bar. They served gyros. We went after the meeting, and, like, you have to walk up this set of steps. And if you walk to the right, you go into the bar, but if you walk to the left, you go into a restaurant. So I'm walking to the left, and I look to the right, and there's some old friend of mine sitting at the table. And he needs some work done, and long story short, I hook up with this guy, and I end up getting high. I get back, I know exactly what I got to do. I go back, I pick up a white key tag, and I call my sponsor. I tell him, look, I got to start working these steps, because from what I'm hearing from you people, you only stay clean if you work the steps. I need work. He says, nah, I think you got to go back to doing your gratitude list and just keep getting more numbers. And, you know, you're just coming back off a relapse. And look, John, I get it. I get it. I'm not trying to work my own steps, but I'm powerless over my addiction, and my life becomes unmanageable. When I went for the weekend with these friends, I had my key tags. I had my little white book with the numbers on them. That didn't keep me clean. I need to work the steps. And really, I come to believe that this program works. I'm no longer looking for the secret to how to use successfully. Now this is, I'm 5-6 months, really, honestly. I'm no longer looking for the secret. I want what you have. I believe you guys are clean, and I want to know how to live clean. And I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to this program. I want to work this program to the best of my ability. No, let me tell you, I'm a slacker, okay? I always want the softer, easier way. I ended up firing John, and I'm going to meetings, and I'm trusting what you people are telling me, and I'm. Somebody said, did you work a 4th step yet? No, I don't have, you know, I'm not going to tell them I don't have a sponsor, but. No, my sponsor wants me to do this, and he wants me to do that, and, like, I quit calling him, but, like, I'm going to meetings every day. Somebody hands me this list of papers, says, here, you need to work a fourth step. And you need to call this person and ask him to do a fifth step with you. I don't know this. You need to do this. Okay. So I call this person and say, hi, I'm Flip, and so-and-so gave me this fourth step thing, and I'm supposed to call you and ask you to do fifth step with me. He went, okay. And I think he gave me like 30 days to do it. I answered his questions on this list, and 30 days I go. And in the meantime, I met the gentleman. And we talked about it, and then, like I said, 30 days I answered his questions, and like he never even looked at the list. I go sit in front of him, and I'm, you know, this is my fourth step stuff, and he's looking at it, and he's reading it, and I don't know what this fourth step was. I don't know where this person got it. I don't know why they gave it to me. He threw it on the floor because he was confused too. But I'm doing what you people are telling me to do. I want this. So he sits down. He starts asking me some of his own questions. You know, and we kind of did a fourth step, fifth step right there. And I said, okay. And it was like 3 hours in his office. He says, what do you want me to do now? He said, I want you to go home and I want you to make a list. Okay. So I immediately go home and I sit down and pull out my books because I bought a basic text. No, I stole basic text from rehab, so I had it. I'm reading my basic text and I'm like, wait a minute. I call him back up on the phone. I said, you want me to make a list of my character defects, right? No. I want you to make a list of people you've harmed. I said, but that's step eight. He said, very good. I said, but I just did 4 and 5. Shouldn't I be doing 6? He says, well, because I worked for my family, I needed to make some amends and I needed to clear the air because it was a very uncomfortable situation. And he said, I want you to make the list and then I want you to bring it to me and we're going to go over it. Make the list, I bring it to him. He says, I want you to make your amends to your brother and your sister-in-law. Okay, so I go to them and I tell them what I'm doing. You know, I worked for them, so they knew that I had a problem. Called them, told them I had a problem. In fact, like, my brother was the first person I told. You know, his statement to me one time was, you're mine between 7 and 3:30. What you do after that is your business. So, in my end, I went to him and I told him, I said, look, you told me that I'm yours from 7 to 3:30. What I do on my own time is my own business. It's leaked into your 7 to 3:30. You know, I've been getting high at work. I've been missing work. It's been making my life unmanageable. 6 to 9, I have new words because I learned to program stuff. And so I start explaining all that stuff to him, and he directed me to my sister-in-law, which got me into rehab and all that. But anyhow, so I go back and I explain to him what I'm doing, and I'm going to meetings, and I'm trying to do the best that I can. And in the meantime, like, I didn't pay attention. I'm psyched because it really felt good. My sister-in-law and I, we didn't get along, and now we got this. The ice is broken. Man, I'm running into people who are on my list, you know, and it says in the book that you're going to run into people on your list and you need to make amends. And so I start telling everybody how sorry I was for the stupid shit that I did to them. And like, I didn't go into specific detail, and I called my sponsor and I told him, oh man, hey, I ran into this guy today. He said, that's not what I told you to do. I told you to make amends to your brother and your sister-in-law. Maybe your mother. He says, the rest of the people, we'll get to that. Somewhere along this journey, I ended up going to Texas. I quit working for my brother and going back to school. Now I just made amends to them, told them I'm going to be the best employee that they ever had. And months later, I quit. I got like less than a year clean, and I'm doing this shit. And I guess that's why I'm supposed to tell you this. Because the steps are written in order for a reason. And all I was doing was making a mess. I went to Texas, and when I come back, because I was in Texas, we didn't want to do this long-distance sponsor-sponsee stuff. And I come back, I got a new sponsor, and he had an actual list of his step work. It's like him and his sponsor family. He was from Buffalo, New York. They had this step working guide. Now I'm reading this stuff, and I start back on step one, and I answer all these questions, and I sit down, and we go over all these questions, and he discusses this stuff with me. And you know, I did a first step. I did a second step. It was more than me just like, no, I have a feeling in my belief in my heart that like the first three steps I really did in my heart the first time I did them. But I'm still, I want what you guys got, and I got a sponsor, and I'm going, I'm doing what he's telling me to do. When we get to the fourth step, he gives me a fourth step working guide. I write my fourth step out. We go over and do my fifth step. And just like your sponsor, we sit down, and I don't even think we did it in one weekend. It was, you know, one weekend I was at his house for 2 hours, and we sat there talking, and the next weekend I had to come back over and redo some stuff that wasn't done right, and we went over the next two hours, 3 hours, whatever it took doing the next part of it. And then I start working on my character defects. And one of the things that my first sponsor, I call him my first real sponsor, Morty, was like, he says, you'll be working on your character defects for the rest of your life, so we need to clear up some mess. My second sponsor, Dawn, he says the same thing. He says, but we're going to do the worksheet. And you're going to get the willingness, and you're going to ask God to help you remove these, and you're going to do that on a daily basis. And we get to the eighth step. Long story short, I did the whole this unapproved work guide. Then Narcotics Anonymous comes out with a step working guide. Now, I'm a person, and I believe this, and I'm lying to myself, and right now in front of everybody. Our literature states that this recovery is like an onion, so we keep working the steps. I half-heartedly worked through the steps up to the eighth step, maybe tenth step, whatever, with Marty. Then, and I go through the steps one time with this working guide with Dawn. I'm going through the third set of steps, third time, through the step working guide. And we worked all the way up to the eighth step. To this day, honestly, that's as far as I worked on the steps. Now, I've completed the 12 steps, but I haven't reworked them. And I've been around here for 26 years. I have done several fourth steps. I'll tell you that. My sponsor did direct me to do a couple fourth steps on some specific things that happened in my life. I get up to the eighth step, and it says in our literature that we're responsible, like, we're talking about harm, and they're defining what harm is. And it said in there, like, I'm responsible for hurting people's feelings. I couldn't buy it. Because me, personally, I have feelings. They're unwarranted. They haunt me from my past. One of the ones was, like, I don't remember where I was. I was with my daughter, and we went to visit my mother. And my mother said something to my daughter about something, a girl, and my mother said, there's this, oh, man, did you hit her? And my daughter went, no. And she said, why? Are you a sissy? Chills come through my body. I grew up with that. I'm the youngest of five boys. And like, I was bullied. And then, what's wrong with you? Is this, you going to cry? You know? And till today, my wife, we'll be watching a movie or something. She's over there, tears in her Kleenex. She's over there doing this. And she looks over at me and says, you don't even have a tear in your eye. I don't cry. I cried when my dog died. For minutes. And had to shut it off because my wife and kid, my dog's laying on the floor. I got to take care of this now. You know. So that, and, but then I went down and I cried a little more. But I'm reading this 8-step work guide that we have, and it's, how can I be responsible for your feelings when I'm not even responsible for my own feelings? You know, I have feelings that are unwarranted. You know, if you called me a sissy, I'd be mad. I'd be wanting to fight, and it's a trigger. You know, it's from my past, and through 4 steps and stuff, I work on that. But I ain't buying it. And at this point, I got married, went through a divorce, and then through this, I lost my sponsor, Dawn. He kind of fired me. And he was going on in his own direction. And I found my present sponsor, Tony. And Tony was under the belief that you work 1 through 10, and you work 10, 11, and 12 every day. For the rest of your life, you just work 10, 11, and 12. Because, you know, 10, you know, we take a daily inventory of ourselves, and when we're wrong, we promptly admit it. It's all the rest of the steps combined. I haven't actively looked for a new sponsor, but I really think I should, because that's not what I believe. Because there's some stuff as I go through the step working guide. Like I said, I went home and I read all these books. And as I'm reading through the 8th step, I got to that point that I did with Mr. Dawn. And I ain't buying this. I'm not responsible for your feelings. And harm. There's a spot where it talks about harm. When I cheated on a test when I was in high school, who did I hurt? I hurt the teacher. I hurt my fellow students. I hurt the students that followed me. And I'm thinking, man, this is messed up. And you're like, I don't even have a reason to be alive. Like, not seriously, but I'm a messed up individual. I kept reading. And what I learned from that, because this is really, honestly, that was the first time I finished reading through the 8th step. What it did is it took me to a place of how I actually can create harm to people, you know? I'm aware that I can be intimidating. And I don't intimidate the biggest guy in the room. I intimidate the small one. I can intimidate children, and I intimidate women. And I know I could puff up my chest and get in your face, and you might back down. Again, I'm not gonna go up to you and do that, because you might not back down, and I might get hurt. Okay? This is what working the steps has done for me. I try not to intimidate women. I try not to intimidate children. I learned I can, but I don't want to. I don't want to be that person anymore. But what this is taking me to a place where, like, I understand what harm is. I have this. I'll get to this. Now, when I was working the 8th step, I was also taught. It was like doing a 4-step. When you do your 4-step, you do this 4-step like there's no 5th step. Forget about the 5th step. Just for today, we're on a 4-step. When you get to the 8th step, and you get to this harm stuff, it takes me to a place that I realized what harm can actually be. You know, I could harm. Might talking to you today might harm you. It might open your eyes to the truth, but it still, it might, you might have to go to that lower spot. But I do the eighth step like there's no ninth step. If a name comes to my mind, I got to put it on a paper. I'll be honest. I've done an eighth step, and I had names on a paper, and I went to them, and I've made my amends. So I thought. Years go by, that name pops back up. I went back to my brother. My brother no longer owned the company. His son owns it. I went back to work for that company. I didn't show up late. I didn't call off because I was dope sick. I'm not going to say I was the best employee they ever had, but I was the best employee that I could be. And there's a lot of times, and the guys that know me and heard me share before, there's a lot of times I didn't like that job, and I didn't like going to that job, and I bitched about that job. That was part of my amends. Like, I had to make it right. I couldn't just tell you I was sorry. And there were some things I did on that job when I was in my active addiction. I couldn't tell them. I didn't do them again. And I don't do them again in the job that I'm in right now. But to tell him would harm him. It would harm the relationship that I have with my family. You know, like, how dare you? I never want to speak to you ever again. That was just, like, totally fucked up. I didn't go to work and got paid for it. I was in the bag, man, staying up till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And the guys were showing up at work, and they were doing the job, and I would show up at break time or lunchtime with donuts or hot dogs. And say, hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, all right. Yeah, I got another job down the road I got to go take care of. Everything cool? You need anything? I'll order it. Better yet, why don't you order it? Here's the phone number. Talk to this guy. Just, yeah, cool, man. And I'd go back home, and I'd catch a couple hours of sleep, and I'd go back and do it all over again. And Friday, I'd show up at the office and get my paycheck. I went to work for my nephew for 2.5, maybe around 3 years. I was harming my family. I mean, I needed a job. Honestly, I needed a job. I got laid off from my other job, and I took this job, and I made a commitment that I would do these certain jobs. That you know, I work construction, so like you work yourself out of a job. But like he did, I worked on a job for him, and when that job was done, he told me about this other job, and he really, you know, with my experience, he would like to do a bid on this job, and yeah, go for it. And like halfway through the job, I wanted to quit, and I was sick to my stomach, literally. And I don't know if this sounds weird to you, but like I have a conscious contact with the God of my understanding, and a woman shared a little bit about it this morning. You know, I was sick to my stomach. I wanted to quit this job because I had a better job offer. But God spoke to me. He said, you made a commitment to this man. You got to stick to it. So I called the job offer up and told him, I said, look, I'm sorry, I can't accept your job offer. I made a commitment to this job, and I'm going to stick till it's finished. I got on the phone, I called my nephew, and I said, I'm staying with you till the job's over. The feeling went away. Again, every day I went to work, I didn't feel that good, but I'm making half the amount of money that I could have made somewhere else. But you folks like and taught me about honesty and integrity and commitment. And I'm trying to be that person. And honestly, sometimes it doesn't feel good, you know. When the job was finishing up for my nephew, he came to me, and he's telling me about the next job, and he's going on, and you know, like work's real slow right now, and there's going to be this gap in between here, and I'm trying not to lay you off. And I said, stop. I told you I would finish this job. You're telling me this job is over? I'm going to take the other job off. I hope there's no hard feelings. But I got a family to take care of. I got to do what I have to do. And He was a little stunned, but he came back to me and he shook my hand and he thanked me for being honest with him. And he told me that I will always have a position there if I need one. I did the right thing. I made an amends. And I practiced these principles of the program. And like I said, I feel good about that. In fact, I was just sharing with somebody the other day. I kind of miss those guys. You know, I spent 2-3 years with them. I kind of miss them. There's another gentleman. I lost the key to my truck, and I had to go get a key made at a Chevy dealer. And while I was at the Chevy dealer, I saw an old friend of mine. And from the moment I seen him till today, which is probably probably well over a year, there's something in my gut telling me I still owe him an amends. Now, I'm 57 years old, and I did a lot of drugs, too. And I don't know. I swear I had it on a list, and I went to him and made an amends. But maybe it wasn't enough. I don't know what it is I'm supposed to do. But I have expectations. And my conscience is telling me I can't go there until I get rid of those expectations. I can't just blow it off. I still need to go to him for some reason. But I have to do it without expectations. You know, I've gone to some people and I made my amends and they said, "Oh, that's great. I'm glad." They didn't really know what I was doing. But, "Oh, that's great, man, because you was pretty bad, man. I'm glad to see you're doing really good and everything worked out real well." And I got that, "Oh, man, I'm feeling really good about myself," ego thing going on, and I'm all happy. I went to some other people and they told me, "Fuck you, get out of here. I don't even want to see you again." But I went to them. You know, and out there in the dope world, we did see some of these exchanges that were like, "You fucked me, I fucked you, and we're okay, you're okay with it." You know, other people, "I fucked you," they're not okay with it. I can look someone in the face now and be honest with them. What am I trying to look for here? Yeah, that self-forgiveness. I wasn't really all that bad of a person, okay? Really, in my drug using, but like I said, in the 8-step working guide, it took me there. I was pretty horrible. You know, when I went to school, I didn't think I was that bad of a student until I got my transcripts. You know what I mean? It's like we learn honesty. You know, I was sharing the other day. I used to tell this story how I had tickets to the last Led Zeppelin show. I was in the military and I was over in Germany, and I had tickets to. And I told this story so many times, I believed it. After I got clean, I was reading an article, and I'm looking at checking the dates. There's no way that I could have had tickets to that concert. So it's just not 8 and 9, you know that. Yeah, there's a level of honesty. You know, we have to get to the really root. Like, how did we really harm these people, regardless of how they harmed us? You know, because there were some people that were like, "Fuck them, I'm not making no amends to them." And I had to. And through forgiving them, I learned how to forgive myself. Because I did some pretty shady shit. I was the guy that would steal your dope and help you look for it. And bitch about that a person who would do something like that. Steal that shit. Man, that is... And I need to continue working the steps, because I tell you what, like, if I don't come here and tell you the things that I'm telling you here today, and I don't continue working these steps, I go back to being that person. You know, I'm no savior. I'm no spiritual guru.
I'd like to be. You know, some days, you know, I think, like, you know, sitting up on a mountaintop or in some ashram somewhere would be, like, so cool. But I'd probably get bored and hate that, too. Yeah, I don't know. That's just... Sometimes I come here and I don't think you guys know what the fuck you're talking about. But I know when I don't come here, I go back to being that person. And I don't want to say it ain't about the drugs anymore, because it's always about the drugs. Because, like, when I start hating myself, I don't want to feel that pain anymore. So what I learned to do is, when I start hating myself, I got to go to more meetings. And I got to come here and I got to tell you that I'm starting to hate myself again. I'm starting to do stupid shit. Because if I don't, the only other thing I know that's going to take that away is using. And that's only going to do that for a little bit. And there's some things that I haven't done as far as drugs go that you folks have come in here and told me about that seem really exciting. And I would go there. And I also see that there's some of you folks that go there and don't make it back. Mm-hmm. To me, this is a life and death program. My life's really good right now. But it might not be tomorrow. You know, it's a just for today program, and if I don't work the steps, and if I don't come to meetings and I don't share, if I don't keep up on this, I'm going to die again. I say die again. I was working for my brother, and I was partying all night long. And we were running conduit in a ditch, and we were drawing a hole, like we had a ditch dug, and we were drawing a hole through the concrete block so that we could run pipe through it. And I'm the guy standing outside, supposed to tell the guy on the inside that he came through and make sure nobody comes into the ditch. I woke up, and now I'm 4 foot in the ground, and these people were standing over me, and I swear to God, I thought I was dead. I thought it was at my funeral. That was what it took for me to want to get help. I don't want to die. So whatever I got to do to stay clean comes first. You know, I like the life that I have now. I got a little struggle going on with the balance of things. You know what I mean? Because, like, I have a child to one woman. My daughter is 23 years old, and I have a 14-year-old daughter to another woman. And like I'm both of their dads, but I was two different fathers. You know, my first daughter, I took her to meetings, and I only got her on the weekends, and I was the cool dad. And my second daughter is with me every day, and I don't want to be that strict disciplinarian, mean dad, but I got to be a full-time father, and it's different. You know, it's different. There's different phases in my recovery, and I do have a sponsor. I do call my sponsor. I do have a home group. I do show up at it every week unless I have to work or something special comes up. There's different phases of recovery. But I feel like I'm rambling because, like, you're really honest. I want to work the steps again. I want to go from 1 to 12 because every time I go through it, I find something new. You know, and I'm glad I'm at this retreat. I'm glad I was asked to speak. It's truly an honor. I'm glad that I got to share, like, get some stuff off of me, and I hope that, like, through doing that, I gave some stuff to you folks. That's all I got. Thanks.